Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Somebody's Mama Podcast. We're your hosts, Kendra
and Nicole.
Thank you guys for joining us today for another episode. This is episode 97, so we are quickly approaching 100 episodes. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hello to all of our new listeners or watchers or viewers, I should say. Yeah, we're really excited to just hop right into this episode. If you guys are not subscribed, make sure you go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you can find podcasts, we're there. So make sure you guys are subscribed and follow us on Instagram at Somebody's Mama Pod. So let's jump right in. Nicole, how was your week, your weekend?
Listen, last week just about took me out. I have never worked as hard as I worked last week, okay? Uh-huh. Time management came into full play. It was like from the time I woke up till 2 o'clock every night, it was just like...
Locked in,
but like the type of locked in where I didn't want to be locked in.
Right.
I had no want to be locked in.
Yeah, responsibilities.
The responsibilities was kicking my butt. Okay. Responsibility was kicking my butt last week to the point where I usually look forward to us going to tennis on Fridays. Like my kids do tennis twice a week, gymnastics mm-hmm. once a week, and basketball once a week. So we are going somewhere all the time.
Right.
But I always look forward to my Friday tennis. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even make it. I was like just exhausted. And then come Saturday, my husband had to leave. And usually Saturday morning, I get rest or like mm-hmm. I get like a little bit, you know, and
right.
he was there for a little bit. So I got a little bit, but like, I was so mentally, physically, and emotionally drained.
Yeah.
That I literally like the whole weekend, I just like crashed. Like kids didn't go to the park. Like I physically was just like,
I can't do it no more.
I can't do it no more. And then it's like with my husband being gone, it was like, we ain't going nowhere. Cause I can't get all three of y'all together.
Yeah, that's a whole nother task.
It's a whole task.
And you don't have no energy.
It was like, and you're physically and emotionally just drained. It was just like, oh, like I hit my, like, the
your
wall.
Limit.
Yeah, yeah, I hit my limit. I hit my limit. And mm-hmm. at that point, the weekend, it was done. Even my kids, like normally I'll at least go to the park. We will do things. I didn't make it to church and we love the new church.
Yeah.
I was out for the count.
You said, listen, I can't add another thing to this week. I feel it.
So yeah, that was my week and weekend. What about you, Kendra?
So this weekend it was all about birthdays. I have so many people in my family and in my life whose birthdays are in October.
Yeah.
Like my immediate family, there's 5 people whose birthday is in October. So, Saturday we celebrated my oldest son's 7th birthday. I can't believe he's 7.
7 is crazy.
Well, actually he'll be 7 when you're listening to this. It's his birthday. He turned 7 on Wednesday, but we celebrated this weekend. We had a party at the park near our house. And you know, when you say like, oh, I'm just going to do something simple. And it was a very simple party, but anytime you're planning something and people are coming to your house or, you know, they're coming to your space, it's a lot of prep that goes into it. Yeah. So I planned everything pretty much, you know, pretty good. So I was done with everything, was like sitting by the door on Friday.
Oh, nice.
Like early, I wasn't even up all night or anything like that. Like before the kids got out of school, all the goodie bags were made. Oh, everything was laid out. All we had to do the next day was like blow up the balloons. But we had the party at the park, and our park has a hill. Nicole's been to our park. So yeah. We had a hill. So I'm like, my husband's like, we need to buy a wagon. So we got the wagon. But we had to make so many trips in the wagon because we had coolers and drinks and food and like all this stuff. And it was like 100 degrees on Saturday.
It was so hot. I was at home like, dang.
It was so hot. That I was like dehydrated. Like by the time the party got started, mind you, like just even setting up for the party, like I'm trying to like anchor down the the tablecloths, because there's nothing like setting up a whole party at the park and coming back and all the tablecloths are gone.
Yeah.
So I just like trying to tape down the tablecloths and still make it look cute.
Right.
And like the last table, I bent down and like when I stood up, I felt like dizzy.
Oh no.
And so I'm like, what is going on? So I'm like, let me drink some more water. So I drank some more water, went back, took a shower, came back, whatever. So the party started. Everything's cool. The kids are really hot though. Everybody's drinking a ton. The kids are tearing up the water. Okay. We had like this big jumper with the slide and they're running around, they're having a good time. But you know, it's a jumper, it'd be hot in there.
Yeah.
So the kids get out and their faces are all red and they're splashing water in their face or whatever, but they had a ball. We had a great time. Everything turned out really well. A lot of people showed up, but it was just so hot. Like by the time we got to doing the cake, I was like, I have to sit down.
Like
I felt dizzy. I felt faint. Like I couldn't get enough water. I drank like three of these and I was still like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh my goodness.
So after everything was over, I took a liquid IV and I felt much better. But the party was great. Kenan had a great time. Yeah. All our family and friends were there that could make it. So it was really fun. But then you would think I would just be like, ooh, let's go to bed. Like that was a long day. No. So because I don't like to like disappoint people and I like to show up, yeah. My cousin had her 30th birthday that night.
Oh my God.
So we basically had like a couple hours in between. We were late to her party because I was like, I need to rest a little bit.
Right.
So we kind of just like pulled our act together and went to her party, which was really nice. I can't believe she's 30. I remember no. She was born.
That was wild. I was like, oh my goodness, I saw your choice. I was like, oh my goodness, she's 30? I thought it was like maybe her 25th.
No, 24th. She's like a whole 30-year-old out here. So. It was nice to celebrate her. And then the next day, we watched church from home. And one of our good friends' daughter turned 16. So we had her sweet 16 birthday. And this little girl, we've known her since she was a baby. And like, she was the first baby out of our like friend group.
Uh-huh.
So to see her at 16 is like crazy. Everybody was crying. Like, cause at some point in the party, they went around and had everybody like say words of encouragement or like something nice about her.
Yeah.
And so everybody's sharing their stories and she's an amazing young lady. Like she really is. She has great parents. But everybody's going around saying nice things about her and I'm just crying the whole time. Like, oh, okay, my baby is 16. I can't believe it. Like,
you have like a long day. Or that was the next
day. Yeah, I'm already emotional. I'm tired and everything. And she's so beautiful. Her mom made her dress. Oh, and wow. It was so whimsical. She had like a Princess and the Frog theme.
Oh, cute.
And so it was just too cute, okay? So overall, we had a great weekend filled with celebrations. So yeah. I am exhausted, to say the least.
And this is just the beginning for you because you got a whole month more of birthdays, right? Every weekend, probably.
We have two more birthdays in my family, but they're not doing parties or anything.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we definitely have two more. Kendon's birthday, we're going to do a little something on his actual birthday, too.
Nice.
So it'll be fun. And then my crazy self decided to volunteer at the school twice this week. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Whew.
Like, what is wrong with me? I don't get it.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of the teachers are volunteering, the teacher, I think I had told you last week that I thought I was volunteering, you know, twice a month. Right. No. She hit my daughter with the, oh, your mom's not here today. I'm like, not here today.
She's not able to be here today.
Yeah, I didn't know I was supposed to be there. And then she's like, oh, after class, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's every week. I'm
yeah.
Like, girl. Every week, girl.
Like, you have to give me a sub because I'm not going to be here every week.
I'm going to try my best to be there, but we're going to see. Okay? We're going to see. I'm going to try.
Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to go every week as well. I had a heart to tell her yet that I don't want to come every week. Well, I was just like, oh, you know, if there's ever any time that you don't need me. And she was like, no, just show up, you know, just come. And I was like, okay, girl. And we have a book fair this week, and so they needed people to volunteer in the book fair. So I'm going to do, after I drop the kids, like, you know, I'm going to bring the kids to school, and I'm going to stay for 2 hours and do the book fair.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's not that bad. It'll be fun.
Oh, my goodness. You bold, because I couldn't do the book fair. It just looks so, like, crazy in there.
So last year when I did it, I don't do the cash register. It's too much. Okay. So what I do is walk around, like I stand around with the kids, and if they need help, like figuring out, because the kids bring their own money. So I ask them, like, how much money do you have? You know, this is your section. You can find something within this section, or, you know, see like what their grade level is. And like, you want to be able to read this book yourself, or do you want your parents to read it to you? And kind of just help guide them around. So that part is fun because I get to interact with the kids and stuff. But the register is a mess because you got these first graders trying to count money, like,
yeah, that's what I'm like.
Or they be coming there with a pocket full of change and be like, what can I get for this?
And I stopped letting my kids go to the book fair by themselves. Ain't no way.
No, I do Kenden after school too. Before school or after school, I take him in there myself because he'll come back with something that's like, why did you buy this?
A poster, a pen.
No, nothing that you can read.
Yeah, nothing that you can read, but it is what it is.
Yes.
Let's get into these mama moments.
All right.
Listen.
You go first?
I'll go really quick.
Okay.
Okay. So my son is 8 years old, and he's at the age where he's just starting to understand more things, okay?
Right.
Over the weekend, we were watching the movie Ferdinand. I think that's called. It's called Ferdinand. It's like this movie with this bull or whatever. Well, in one of the scenes, one of the bulls, they're fighting and the bull passes out. And so this truck comes to pick up the bull, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the truck comes to pick up the bull, it shuts the door and you can see all the cuts of the bull and that the bull was going to a chop shop, okay?
Okay.
And my son was like, oh no. Like, it was the first time he clicked the two that, like, they about to go cut Ferdinand up.
Yes.
And in the past we watched it, he didn't put the two and two together, you know?
Right.
So he was like, oh no. They're not Ferdinand's not the one getting chopped up, but the other guy, the other bull. The bull's getting chopped up. And he's putting the two and two together, and he's just like, why would they hurt him like that? He's like, people eat that. Like, we can't eat the animals. Like, yeah. He just went into this whole, like, a good 48 hours of, these are animals, and how could we eat them? And he just went in on a whole, like, he got tripped out. He got tripped out, okay? And my husband's like, well, you know, God created animals and, you know, to eat. And he was just like, yeah, but, you know, because the movie makes them feel like you can relate to them or that they're animals with feelings and this and that, which, I mean, I do think animals probably have like feelings and yada, yada.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was just like a trip because now we're not having to explain to him the circle of food life and just the whole thing. But it's like, as kids get older, there's all these things you have to explain now.
Listen, I'm right there with you. Yesterday, I was going to do a different mama moment, but we're going to stay on theme. Because yesterday, Kenden is talking about, he was talking about like fishing. And so he's like, yeah, so why do people go fishing? And I said, you know, well, you know, sometimes people do it for fun or, you know, if they might go and catch the fish that they want to eat.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait. So when people go fishing, they actually eat the fish? And then we're like, yeah. He's like, well, that's not right. They're sea animals. They're sea creatures. We're not supposed to eat them.
Yeah.
And so he's like, and so we're like, well, yeah, you know, sometimes people, when they go fishing, they throw the fish back. And he's like, but do they die? And I'm like, well, it depends on how, you know, they bait the hook. And, you know, it's a lot that goes into it. And so he's like, so, Mom, do you eat fish? And I'm like, sometimes I look at this, you know? And he's like, Mom, I don't think that's okay. I really don't think that's okay. I don't think we should be eating fish, Mom. Have I ever ate a fish?
Oh my God, you're like, listen. And
I'm like, well, you ate a little salmon back in the day. Like, you don't really care for fish, but he's like, I don't know, Mom. I just don't understand. Why would someone go into their home and take them out of their home and eat them?
Yeah,
I'm like, you are so right.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you feel. You start feeling bad. Like, oh my goodness. Yeah, like, yeah, that is what happened.
And I think it was great that your husband was like, well, you know, God created them for us to, like, you know. That was a great angle. Me and my husband was like, well, you know, you got a point there. Why do we go in their home and take them out of their home? Like, we don't have to do that.
Yeah, like, we don't have to do that, and we do, but
and it tastes really good. So when you fry it up, you know.
Oh my goodness, they're so smart. And it's like having to explain all these things as they get older, it's tricky.
It is. It gets very tricky, like, just with everything. Like today, Kenan is like, what did he say? He said, Mom, do people marry their sister? And I said, no. And he's like, I said, well, you know, you're not supposed to marry your family members. And he said, well, why not? We get along. And I said, well, there's something called incest. And, you know, God didn't create us to marry, you know, within our own bloodline.
Oh my
and God. He's like, but why? And you know, like at this age, it's like, but why, but why, but why? And I'm just like, yeah. We just don't. It's nasty. Like, you know, but he doesn't understand he don't know what married people do. Like, right. He doesn't know, like, all he knows is that married people raise a family and they love each other.
Right.
And so he, in his mind, he probably thinking, well, we already family. We already love each other. Why can't we just get married?
Right.
So that's a conversation for later on in life, but I'm
just, and it's complicated.
And these questions come every day, every single day. Like, mm-hmm. it's something different. Today he asked me if people cut people with knives. And I said, why would you ask that? And he was like, well, you know, when people, you know, they fight with their sword, or he said sword. He said, do you cut people with a sword? And I said, well, you and I wouldn't cut somebody with a sword, but if someone was in battle, that was the only weapon they had, they would fight with a sword. And, you know, it's a weapon. And he said, oh. And I said, but we're not in battle, so we're not going to cut people. We're going to cut food, and knives are used for other things. But you're a child. You don't use a knife, right? He's like, no, I'm just wondering, like, you know. And he said, well, I have a weapon, because he has his Ninja Turtle, like, plastic nunchucks.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I have a weapon. Can I hit somebody with it? And I said, no, that is a toy.
Like, let's get it clear.
It's meant for you to do pretend play with your Ninja Turtles. And remember, I always tell you to watch out and make sure nobody's around you before you swing them, so you don't hit anyone.
Right.
And we don't want you to do that, because this is a toy. It's not used. It's not meant to be used as a weapon. It's not a real, nunchucks. And you're not a real ninja.
Isn't it crazy with boys? They will use real words like weapon. And you'll be like, yeah. What? Like, what you mean it's a weapon? Like, why are you using this word? Like, they would use real words.
Yeah, he said, well, I have a weapon.
And yeah, I'm like,
please don't say that out loud anywhere. Yeah. Like, no, you don't. It's a toy. It is a toy.
Yeah, like, let's get this clear. It's a toy. That's it. That's all.
It's an adventure every single day.
Yeah.
But yes, let's go ahead and move into these hot topics. So, you know, as we're scrolling the gram today, we've come across a few hot topics. Today, I saw a video with Yandy and Mandisi's. They're best known for being on Love & Hip Hop, but their family does a lot of things on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And so I guess they have a YouTube channel. And so today they made a video that was posted on the Shade Room about their oldest son, turning 18.
Yeah.
And in the video, I thought it was interesting, even though it was meant to be like a funny video, some of the things they were saying people really do. So right. They're like, oh, you're 18 now. We don't have to give you no more money. We're not even going to give you anything for your birthday. You better post your Amazon wish list on Instagram and have your friends buy you stuff. As a matter of fact, and then they're talking to each other and they're like, we don't have to feed him anymore. We don't have to give him a place to stay. They're like, you have to go find your own apartment. And then they're like, matter of fact, give me back my car. Oh, let me get these trash bags for you to fill your things with.
Oh my goodness. But people really be going through that type of stuff.
And then they pushed him out the door and they're like, we're done. Yeah. And then they tell the other little boy, we only got 6 more years for you and you're out of here too. Oh my goodness. Listen. And so it was funny, you know, because it's meant to be a funny video.
Right.
But I also find it interesting. Like, what do you think about, what are your views on a child having to leave the home at 18?
I think like that's crazy. Like, I don't think you have to leave the house at 18. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I would like them to experience dorm life.
Right.
And, you know, I want them to come back as much as they want or as much as they need to. But mm-hmm. I obviously want them to experience dorm life, you know?
Right. And go to college and yeah.
Yeah. Because that's an experience that you can only really get at a certain age. You can only mm-hmm. really, you know, be in that area or whatever in that time right. of your life. So I really want them to experience that, but I'm definitely not a kick them out at 18 type. And also, like, after seeing my nieces go to college, mm-hmm. I'm like, my sister be, I'll be seeing, she'd be like, I got a Zeller again.
Right.
And they have jobs and they got jobs, but still it was like, they coming home every weekend to wash their clothes. They going through the pantry. They grabbing toilet paper.
Yeah.
So I want my kids to do all that because, like, I want them to come back home. Like, I want to see them. You know, I don't know. Like, I couldn't just kick them out.
The truth of the matter is, you're not ready at 18 to be on your own. I mean, yeah. Some kids manage, like, if they're on a more mature path and their parents have prepared them or something in life has prepared them for this, where you know how to manage money, you know how to make money, first of all, you know how to manage money, you know how to pay bills and fend for yourself. But I feel like it's so unrealistic to think that just because you have a birthday, the next day you're 18, you automatically know how to do all these things when you have been raised in your parents' household. If you haven't taught your child how to pay bills, how to save, how to use a bank account, how to find a job, gave them experience on being able to get a job automatically, I feel like it's so unrealistic and so American of us.
It really is.
To just think that because you turn a different birthday, like 17, you're a child. The next day, you're an adult. Go ahead. Like, no, mm-hmm. I feel the same way. I feel like college does prepare you to be an adult. So yeah. I feel like if your child is going to college and they're leaving the home for that reason, I think it's great. I don't think that it needs to be a mandatory thing that if your child decides that they're not going to go to college, either you go to college or leave. I think that's a recipe for disaster as well.
Me too.
I feel like you should be talking to your child. If your child says, hey, you know, college is not the path that I want to take. Okay, well, when you're 16, we're going to start talking about what is your plan so right. that I can support you and I can give you the tools that you need to execute that plan. If you want to be an entrepreneur, okay, let's go. You can take some business courses. You can take these master classes. We can get you involved in different things so that you're prepared. Whatever you want to do, me as the parent, I'm going to prepare you so that when you do turn 18 and you start to embark on that journey, you're equipped.
Right.
It's terrible just to push kids into the street. So I'm glad that they kind of like made a mockery of it.
Yeah.
Because it made it like, this is ridiculous, but this is what people do.
Right.
But I also feel like people use it as an excuse because they're tired. Like, parents are tired. They're tired of like paying for everything. They're especially with the boys. The boys really get it. Like, that's why so many men end up like in the military. They might not even want to go to the military, but they don't have anything else to do or nowhere else to go.
Right.
So, no, I don't agree with the whole getting out at 18 thing. Like, for my kids, you always have a home here. It is so expensive.
It is so expensive.
They can go and get a job making $60,000, $80,000 straight out of high school, and it's still not enough.
Right. That's the crazy part.
Yeah. Like, it's nowhere near enough for you to survive on your own. You still got to go get roommates.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just feel like if they, you know, after they go to college, if they need to come back home after college, because guess what? They're not going to have a corporate job straight out of college necessarily. You need to come home till you figure out, you know, your career path. I'm fine with that, because I just feel like everything is so, and who knows how much stuff going to be by the time they get out of school. But
I know
our plan also is we're already saving for our kids now, and we're already setting them up for success. But it's also our job to prepare them with the tools to utilize these things that we have saved for them as well.
Yeah. It ain't easy being a parent, okay? This is,
it's a lifelong journey. It ain't no 18, that's it.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think I mentioned it on here because it was probably too tough, but my grandma passed 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And seeing my mom go through this stage of her mom passing away, and just like seeing my mom as the child and her mom as like my grandma is your mom and you're the child, and just seeing that, like, even to your last breath, just wanting to be there with your kids, or wanting to just be surrounded by your kids and trying to be there for your kids even to your last breath, you know. And it's like, does it matter if your kid is 2 or 65? Like, they're still a baby, you know.
Yep.
And so it's a journey. And you know what, Only good parents are having a hard time, because we care. We care so much that we stress ourselves out because we care.
Yeah.
But
it's so much more exhausting when you care.
Okay. And as you guys probably can already see from the title, we're talking about pregnancy in our main topic. But while we're still on these hot topics, I have to just bring up how amazing Ciara looks being pregnant.
Yes. She, like, looks great.
She just looks like she's glowing. She just looks so happy. She just looks so, like, even her previous pregnancies, I always thought she looked beautiful and glowing, but something about this pregnancy, it just feels like every time I see her, she just looks like, I won.
I know. I think it's too, it's her aura. Like, her voice is so soft, and
yeah,
she's kind of just like, yeah, you know.
I won.
But like, no, okay. I agree. It's so funny because she's been posting, like, I feel like her and Lala Anthony, they're really close or whatever. So they've been kind of like posting a lot of those cute little videos of their friendship.
Yeah.
And they're always having these random conversations.
Yeah.
And I think it's so cute. So today they were talking about how, I don't know, did Lala ask? I think she said Lala was talking about it. Like, do you believe in love at first sight? And so Ciara goes in to, like, tell her story about her husband. And she's like, first of all, like Nicole said, she's already like glowing and stuff, but she lit up.
Yeah, she was just like,
she went all the way up when she started talking about their love story. And I just thought it was so, so cute.
Okay. Yes or no? Do you think love at first sight is real?
So I think it can be. So, like, in Sierra's story, just to sum it up, she basically said that they talked a lot before they actually physically met in person.
Yeah.
So I think, in that sense, I feel like it can be possible. I personally don't feel like I could fall in love with somebody. True love, the true definition of what love is, based off of just seeing who they are. Even if I look at somebody and I get a vibe from them, or I feel like, I don't feel like I could be very 100% sure that it's love and not lust or desire.
Right.
Because I know nothing about you. I don't even know if what you're giving off is the core of who you are. That's so true. I don't believe that love at first sight really exists, but the potential of love at first sight is there. But like she was saying, she was like, we talked for a long time. So when I saw him, it just aligned.
Yeah, like it came together.
Yeah, she was just like, I could just feel it when I looked at him, because of they've already built this like foundation, like verbally, right, and learning all the ins and outs of each other by, you know, conversing. And then when she seen him and she was like, oh yes,
this is it.
We got one. What about you?
I don't know if I think love at first sight, but I will say this. The first time I saw my husband, mm-hmm, I saw him. He didn't see me. Mm. I did find out that he had seen me previously, but I didn't know that he saw me or anything like that. But I saw him and I heard God say, that is your husband. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, I don't know that man. But he had just, I don't know what it was, but I just remember hearing God's voice say, like, that is your husband. And I was just like, yeah, God, I am. No,
I know.
Chicken, Lord.
You'll be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was like, wait, sure? I was so mad. Actually, I was mad. I was actually really, really mad. But I had to hold on to the Lord and he pulled me through.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel like there's something that happens when you meet your person.
Yeah.
Even if you can't see it at the time, you get a different feeling. Because I feel like the same thing with my husband. Like when we went on our first date, I remember I was like, is something different going on here?
Yeah.
Like, where you literally can picture your life with this person as you're simultaneously talking.
Right.
And it's a little scary because I know, like, on our first date, like, we literally sat and talked for 4 hours.
Yeah, same.
But I couldn't fully see the vision. I just knew that something was different.
Right.
Like, I just felt different about our interactions with each other. And I was just like, and the way he was coming, like, the way he was, like, pursuing me.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt something different, and it was very scary to me.
Very scary.
I couldn't see the vision. I could not see the vision. Right. I was just like, are you sure, Lord? Like, you know, but here we are.
Married 10 kids later.
Two kids, almost 10 years. We just started our 10th year.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's exciting.
Yes. One more.
Okay. One more. Before we get our main topic, I just want to bring this up really quick. Lala Milan announced that she was pregnant this week, mm-hmm, but at the same time of telling us she was pregnant, she also told us she was in a relationship that we knew nothing about.
Right, which I think is the way to go.
She popped up on the scene with a man, a pregnancy, a belly, a relationship.
Huh? I said, looking beautiful.
And she looked amazing.
She did. She really did.
And you know, I think that for a second she was trying to Kylie Jenner us and like just pop out with the baby. But I thought it was pretty cool that, I don't know exactly how I feel about it. I'm still kind of digesting it. But mm-hmm, just the fact to, I guess maybe as a celebrity, you don't really want to tell everybody every time you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But then to pop out and tell everybody you're in a relationship when you're pregnant, it was just a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it can be a lot, especially as a viewer. I'm not that invested into her life, so I don't really know much about like her relationships and stuff like that. But I think it was a shocker to a lot of people because, like you said, nobody really knew she was even in a relationship. And then she got a full belly. Yeah. Like, it's not like, oh, y'all, I just found out. Like, no, she's probably halfway there. But I do think that's the way to go because it just makes your pregnancy so much longer first. Yeah. When you tell people super early, and then two, she's in the public eye, so people are going to be investigating, trying to figure out who he is, what their connection is, and like all these different things, because people become more curious when they don't have any information,
right?
But I think it's cute. Happy for her.
Yes, happy for you, Lala Milan.
And so we're going to go ahead and jump into today's topic.
Yes.
This was a bit of a hot topic too, but we're going to expand on it. So today, as we're scrolling Instagram, we come across this young lady who is giving out her stipulations for pregnancy. Now, she gave us a list of things, and the people in the comments, there was a split. So we're just going to kind of like go through the things that she has on her list and kind of say whether we agree or disagree, realistic or unrealistic, and then kind of go into some of these comics so we can break down why. Okay?
Exactly.
So the first thing on the list was no ring, no baby. And I 100% agree.
And I feel like she, to elaborate on that, is when we say ring, I'm not talking about an engagement ring. I mean, you need to go through I think you should go through the whole marriage thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she didn't specify. But for me, when I say 100% agree, that means we have already gotten married, signed, sealed, and delivered. You are my husband.
Yes.
And then we get the baby.
Yes, with no prenup, okay?
Period.
Okay. Do you want me to go to the next one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the next one, she says, from the moment I'm aware of my conception, I will no longer be working until the child is in junior kindergarten / 4 years old. I didn't really care for that.
No.
That's just unrealistic. Because one, I need my baby shower at the office. We're not going to not have the office baby shower. Two, I need to be able to go into work and complain about my pregnancy and how I'm like, girl, I couldn't sleep last night and I was throwing up, but I'm still here. Look at me, guys.
It's a part of the experience.
Yeah. And then also the part of the experience is like, I may be coming back. I may not be. We don't know. We're going to see. Yeah. I need to do the whole thing. Four, getting paid because I'm out because I'm not feeling well today. I need to do that. Also, when you're pregnant and you go to work, everybody is breaking their back for you.
You get so much attention. They bring you food.
Yes.
You're going to be the first to sit down. Yes. Like,
and people will bring you things, or clients even. Oh, you're pregnant. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like Target gift cards coming in.
And I'll say, and the work baby showers are lit. Like, I think lit. I had one work baby shower, and they had two at my husband's job for us. Like a real baby shower. They had decorations. My job is the same thing. They decorated. They had all this food. They got real gifts.
Yep.
Same thing at my husband's baby shower. And I actually went to his to the shower at his job, and they literally showered us, y'all. Like,
yes. The best. It's the best. It's the work besties are there. And you know, people are, you know, buying you breakfast and you didn't even ask for it. Like, we just want to make eat. Have you taken lunch? We just got to make sure you eat. You know, you're eating for two.
It's right. Like, I had fun announcing it to my coworkers too. I like doing. Like, it was fun.
I remember one of the time I came, I was like, girl, I don't know. Like, I'm late, girl. I don't know. I'm late. Like, you think you're pregnant, girl? You think you're pregnant? I'm like, I might be. I don't know. Because it's not, it's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm feeling a little sick, girl. You pregnant. And it's like, you get the whole thing. Okay.
Right. Now, I won't say I think it's unrealistic because I ain't count nobody pockets. Like, anything is possible. But I don't think for myself it wouldn't have been a requirement,
right,
or a stipulation, like, that I'm not going to work as soon as I find out I'm pregnant. Now, let me say this. I do think that women should have the option to work while they're pregnant because everybody's pregnancy is different.
Right.
And some people are sick the entire time. And so to have to go to work and you're throwing up in the bathroom throughout the day, you don't feel well, like you can't keep anything down, you cannot eat. Like, I do feel like it should be optional. I feel like you should be able to go on maternity leave for the length of your pregnancy if you have that type of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Some women are completely fine. Like, they can go their entire pregnancy up until a couple weeks before their due date and be completely fine. And I think it just depends. Like, for me, I had to stop working early because I was commuting 4 hours a day, like 2 hours there, 2 hours back, and I started to having a lot of like round ligament pains. Mm. I was having back pains. Mm. Because not only did I need to travel 2 hours there, 2 hours back, I was going to see clients throughout the day. Once I got to this, I was working in Inglewood.
Yeah.
And living in the Inland Empire. So not only did I have to drive to Inglewood every day, some days while I was at work, I was driving to Lawndale, back to Carson, to Compton, to Long Beach, to Inglewood. Like, you know, it's like you're all over. And so I was like, listen, I can't do this. Mm-mm. And me and my husband, we worked it out to where I haven't been back to work since. You know? Okay. And so I don't think it's too far-fetched. I feel like you just got to know who you're dealing with. Right. Like, you can't have these stipulations and you're dealing with, or your partner, your husband, is not financially there. So I feel like it's unfair to make your partner go work three jobs
right.
just because your requirement is that you don't work throughout your pregnancy.
Right. It's a stretch. I think, and as we go on here, we'll kind of see, like, she's really trying to be proactive with her decision-making just in case. But yeah, that definitely seems a bit of a stretch. It's not, you don't really know until you're there.
Yeah. The next one she has is push present per child. I agree. Labor and pushing a child out is a lot of work. Now, again, you have to look at your situation. You can't right. be asking for a car per child when that's not in the budget. Yeah. I feel like whatever was it is in the realm of the or the parameters of your financial plan.
Yeah.
You can give me something. Like whether it is a day at the spa or a bag I might want.
Right.
Or a gift basket full of things that I enjoy. Whatever you know your budget is or where you are financially, I feel like a man should always give some type of gift to the woman for enduring 10 months. They say 9, it's 10.
It's 10. Okay. Exactly.
10 months of labor. I mean, 10 months of carrying your child and sometimes 2 or 3 days of labor. They most definitely deserve something. Some men don't even give a flower.
See, I don't really care about push presents. Like, that's never really been on my radar. Mm-hmm. I never really expected, like, I don't know, like, I didn't really care about, like, it wasn't top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also speaking to somebody who got a new car every child. Now, listen.
And that was a push present.
Listen.
Come on.
I did change my vehicle every pregnancy. But, it, you know, car seats matter, okay?
Right.
But yeah, I never really had the care. The push present was never really top of mind for me. But mm-hmm. I definitely can see, like, the purpose of it, the point of it. And if you want one, you should get one.
I feel like it's a nice gesture. And I feel like the connection to what it is gives a different perspective to the man. Because I feel like labor is so normalized that men sometimes think that it is a breeze.
Right. That's true. That's
and
true.
They don't really understand what your body is going through when you are in labor, especially in women who have C-section. People don't talk about the fact that it is a real surgery where they remove things from your body.
Yeah.
To get that baby out.
Definitely watch one.
Yeah, and so I feel like it just goes over people's heads, just like, what do I need to get her? No, you need to sit down and see what she just went through to bring your child into the world. And if you can't give her a little card and a box of See's candy, I don't understand. Like, something to acknowledge what she endured. Now, she may not be a gifts person. Maybe you just do something nice for her, whatever. But I think there should be some type of acknowledgement to the mom for going through all that. So,
yeah, that's for sure. Now, the next one she has on the list is that she must have a doula and a night nurse. And I feel like a doula needs to just, I feel like the doula is becoming more and more like awareness of a doula and what the purpose of a doula is. I know when I gave birth, the hospital automatically gave everyone a doula. Mm-hmm. So most people have like a relationship with a doula. Mm-hmm. I was really happy that I got to experience a doula without, even though I didn't have a relationship with her, she was able to like push me through. Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a doula should be standard. Like, I don't really feel like that's anything like crazy. Now the night nurse, I think that's definitely like top five wants, but you don't usually know about a night nurse, like with your first child. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know about a night nurse their first child.
It's more common now than it was before.
Yeah. I wouldn't be, okay, I don't know if I could have felt comfortable having a night nurse, because mm-hmm. I know for me, like after I gave birth, I was just super protective in a sense of like, it's me taking care of the baby, my husband mm-hmm. taking care of the baby, or my mom taking care of the baby, or like one of my sisters holding the baby. And that's really where I was like,
that's it.
That's really it. And so even though I think a night nurse sounds amazing because you get to sleep and stuff like that, I would prefer to have a family member or someone helping me or being part of it, because I just, them newborns, it's real sensitive. It's like, you can't just be anybody. And if I'm gonna be asleep and you're gonna be up with my baby, like, I don't know. I personally couldn't do it, even though it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could have had a night nurse.
I think I could. I definitely think I could, because I struggled.
Yeah.
Like, cause I was breastfeeding and pumping. So it's like, after I fed the baby, then I had to pump.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, you trying to go back to sleep, and like, it was a lot. So I always said, if I had a third baby, I ain't having no more kids, y'all. But if I had a third baby, I would, a night nurse would be a requirement.
Yeah.
Cause for one, I'm too old to just be getting up.
It does get a lot harder. It does get a lot. The third one just about took me out. How I survived, I was just surviving. Okay.
And I think for me, like, too, I would still be getting up because I would breastfeed. So I would still be getting up. But I did see a video where the girl was like, the night nurse comes into play because she puts the baby back to sleep. So you still have to wake up and breastfeed or pump or whatever, but then you get to hand the baby off and she changes the diaper, she cleans the bottles, she puts the baby back to sleep, and you still have a monitor in your room the entire time. So if you need, you know, to get to the baby, you can. The way I think about it is, it's like, I got an extra set of hands that can like take over, so that after that last feed, I can literally sleep until 11 o'clock if I want to. You know what I'm saying? And like, I feel like you need that, but I definitely get what you're saying. But a lot of those companies, like, you know, it's like really accredited and like, you know.
Yeah.
I think at this point, my first baby, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
But after you have more kids, and I think for me too, I had no choice with Bryson. Like, I literally had to leave him at the hospital.
Yeah. So
I became a lot more like comfortable with it. I feel like after that experience, I know I could, because the way those nurses take care of your baby, like they're your own.
Yeah.
That's true. You would definitely have to vet the company or the people that you use or whatever. But I didn't have no choice. I had to leave him there because you couldn't sleep there.
Yeah.
So it was hard. But after a while, when you start to see like how much they care for your baby, like, and how much they, you know, they handle them with care and things like that, I feel like I would be a lot more open to it now. But with Kendon, it would have been enough.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, because I don't even know how I toughed it out with that third one, child. My body falling apart. I was like, listen here.
It ain't no joke. I'm like, anytime people tell me like, you don't have one more baby, like, no, that's my first answer. If I had a night nurse,
yeah. Like, but I will say the beautiful experience with the third one is, you're like this evolved version of a mother mm-hmm. that is just like so completely different from your first that yeah. it's like this entirely different experience. Mm-hmm. And so like Josh and I will just be laughing at Ryan, like, look at this kid. Like, we are really pushing through the twos right now.
Right.
This kid is just a bottle of joy. And like, we're kind of able to sit and just enjoy it in a way that we weren't quite able to do with the first two. So there yes. is this,
you know what it is. Sure. You don't have to jump up for every little thing. Like, you know yeah. what it is, what's to come, what's to be expected. That's yeah. that's very, very true. Yeah. The next thing that she had on there that I think is actually very good is therapy sessions. She said book yeah. 6 months out postpartum. Yeah. I think that's a good thing to add because you're going to need it. You're going to need somebody yeah. to talk to. You're going to need somebody to help process through things with and just to know that it's okay. Because like mm-hmm. you said, with the first baby, you just don't know. You're hyper, you know, everything is just like, what's going on? What is this? Is this okay? Is that okay? You call the doctor every 3 seconds. You go into the ER over every little thing.
Yeah.
But, and that junk could drive you crazy. So I think having therapy in postpartum just to process through this big change in your life, I think it's good.
Yeah, especially for the, like, she talked about psychosis and stuff, like, mm-hmm. I forgot exactly what she said, but the thing about it is, you know, people talk about getting depression after pregnancy, and that's, some people get depressed, some people don't, but everybody gets baby blues, okay? Like, you can't, well, just about everybody gets baby blues. Like, that's not something that is... like
avoidable,
exactly. So I think that is really good to have therapy sessions because it just kind of hits you out of nowhere. I know Christine Rock, or whatever her name, you know, I never got her name right on the spot. Okay. And the Rock girl, okay. she was acting like she was all good after that pregnancy, and then that baby blues hit her, and she was just like, I don't know, I've just been feeling kind of depressed lately or sad. And it's like, it's a real thing. Like, it's a real thing. And I feel like it doesn't start to go away until, or at least for me, until you go to your like 6 week checkup or so. And then I always saw myself feeling a lot better closer to my 6 week checkup. But I think therapy is, I wish I would have did that. But I feel like sometimes as your new role as a mom, you just feel like you should have it all together and you don't mm-hmm. really know that you're not supposed to have it all together, you
right.
know?
Right.
So it just kind of is what it is. The next one she mentioned on here is having surgery pre-booked if needed, a breast lift, tummy tuck, etc. And I'm sure Kendra and I both agree, have all your kids before you get any type of post-surgery, okay?
Because right, you're going to end up right back under that knife.
Okay, exactly. And I really wanted to go under the knife after my first child. I was like, look at it. I don't know what's going on with these boobs. I've been doing breastfeeding and I'm just feeling like, what is going on?
Right.
And I had to have emergency. Okay. And it's okay, really quick. It's kind of funny because it was a conversation I was really having with myself. I didn't tell anybody. Like, I didn't mention to my husband that I was feeling this way. I wasn't mentioning to nobody that I was feeling this way. Right. Mm-hmm. But about 7 months after I had my son, I had an emergency surgery. Mm. And when I woke up, I was just like telling the nurse, like, because you know, you're high as hell.
Right.
And so I'm woken up from the thing and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. What did you think about my boobs? Like, I just feel like I should get them done. I don't know. I just.
Oh my God.
I just started telling the nurse all about, like, I'm just thinking about this boob job and blah, 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 blah. And I just remember it. Like, I remember saying it, but you're just so high. Like, you don't even just. It's just like coming off the dome.
Right, right.
And I just wasn't able to deal with it because I was scared. Like, what if it goes bad? My body doesn't react well. And then I die. And then my newborn is here with no mom. So
yeah, it's a lot to think about and process yeah. through for sure.
How yeah. do you feel about surgery?
I don't know. We're talking about stipulations here, mandatory. I don't think that that's something that's mandatory because you really don't know, like, how your body is going to go. Now, I do think it's something that you should discuss with your partner ahead of time. Yeah. Like, so when we have kids, if I decide I want a mommy makeover, is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, because maybe that's like a problem.
Yeah, because you want to have the option. if that's something that you feel like you might want to do, you want to have the option. You don't want to get down the line and then your husband is just like, no, absolutely not. Like, because at the end of the day, like, it's my body. Right. So, and you ain't the one to have the baby. So if I am uncomfortable with the way my body looks after I have these kids, you're going to have to be okay with it. And you're going to have to pay for it.
And you're going to take care of the kids while I recover. Okay.
Okay. Because I'm not opposed. I'm still contemplating mine at the moment. But like Nicole said, it is something to think about because a surgery is a surgery. And things could happen. Things could go wrong. So that's always something that I think about too before I make the decision if I'm going to make any alterations. Okay. You got to think about the aftermath. Now, the last thing she had on there is a baby moon. I do think a baby moon is very important, especially if you are having this child like pretty early on in your relationship and you haven't really got to travel with your partner without having kids. I highly recommend that you do a real vacation with your partner before you have your child, because that's going to be the only time in life that you're going to be able to go on vacation and not worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Because after you have the kid, of course, you're going to be able to go on vacation with your spouse, but your time is going to be limited on how much you're willing to go or willing to travel, because you're going to be worried about getting home to your child.
Right.
You're going to think about the baby the entire time that you're there. You're going to be worried about different things. So I think a baby moon is very important. Especially if you have not traveled with your partner before you have kids, because everything just changes. Like, I remember going to Jamaica and I was pregnant with Bryson. We already had Kenden. And I was like, I want to go home. I want to go home. Like, I miss Kenden. And it was like, because I was like pregnant and I had this other kid at home. And I'm just like so emotional that, you know, it just changed the dynamic of like the vacation. So I feel like, especially with your first child, you need that baby moon. Like, you need that time away with just you, like the last hurrah with just you and your partner.
I think a baby moon is definitely required. Mm-hmm. I think everybody should go on a baby moon. Like, for me, instead of going somewhere, I didn't feel comfortable going on a plane when I was pregnant, even though I know it's safe. Like, I know it's completely fine. I just personally didn't feel comfortable. So we like just went places that we both really enjoy being. Like, we just really enjoy San Diego. Mm-hmm. And so we just went to like our favorite place in San Diego and just spent a couple of days and just like enjoyed each other. I forgot where our first baby moon was. But even if it's just going somewhere that you just really enjoy spending time together, it really makes a difference.
That's the goal of the baby moon, is just to have your last hurrah together before you have a child enter the family.
Yeah.
It's just that last little moment to just sit, reflect, enjoy each other's company, because your life gonna change forever after this.
Forever.
Yes. So overall, I think her list was pretty solid. It was pretty interesting though to see the comments, because people had different things to say. A lot of women agreed, because, you know, this is the things on the list is something that most people would enjoy. So a lot of people was like, yes, women deserve that and more, especially after three babies and da 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 da. Excuse me. But it was interesting because some people also were like, you're doing too much. Like, you're asking for too much. And like, I thought that was interesting. I don't know if it was like a, you know, people got in their feelings because maybe they had children and didn't have any of these things. And then someone was like, I guess because she said, someone in the comments said, childbirth is like life or death, because, you know, it's like they say when you're having a baby, it is the closest that you get to death.
Yeah.
Because a lot of different things can go wrong when the baby is coming down the birth canal. But, our bodies are also designed to do this. So someone said, like, it's the closest that you get to death or whatever. And then somebody said also going under the knife is close to death too. Like, when she was talking about getting her her mommy makeover. So it was interesting in the comments to see a lot of the women, like, kind of like coming at her for like having these desires, telling her that it's unrealistic and that, you know, it's 2023 and you need a dual income. And even if you do make $100,000 a year, that's still not enough. Well, she never mentioned a number. She never said a number. So I think it's interesting when people get defensive about stuff like this, where it's just like, these are her opinions. This is something that she desires for herself. If she wants to dream big, let her dream big. What's wrong with that? If she wants to manifest these things for herself, what is so wrong with that? Why does it affect you to where you need to tell her that it's unrealistic?
Because people be so stuck in their own little bubble that they can't even imagine a world outside of it. Like, they can't even imagine a world outside of like their day to day. They can't even imagine the possibility of having a baby moon or having
being able to afford. Being able to afford to not go to work or to have a surgery or, you know, have a doula, like when you can get doulas for free, like through a lot of different programs. But I don't know. It's very interesting. It's kind of sad that people do put a cap on what they're able to receive. Like, I've just never been that type of person. The sky is the limit for me. Like, I believe that I can get anything that I desire. And so I would want people to have that same mindset for themselves. I hate that people were kind of like, you know, coming at her for like dreaming big. I'm like, nothing she said on the list was like too terrible, except for like, I don't think it should be mandatory. Certain things I don't think should be mandatory, but I think you can desire those things.
Is there anything you think should be added to the list?
Be a hands-on father.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a stipulation for me, because some men, you know, they'll be a father, they'll be a provider, but I need you to be hands-on.
Right.
I need you to be, I don't even want to say helpful. Like, we are equal parents. Like, you're not helping me with the baby. This, you're their father. We're taking care of our child together. Especially with having, my husband is a very hands-on father. Like, he knows how to do everything that I know how to do for our kids. Right. And for me, that would be a requirement, and it's something that I suggest for everybody. Even if you feel like, I'm the woman, I'm supposed to take on these responsibilities. Yeah, but he needs to be able to do it too, because guess what? If the kids solely rely on you, you never get a break.
No.
You never get any type of self-care.
No.
You will drive yourself absolutely insane.
Crazy, loco.
Because you'll never be able to be without those kids. You can never trust him to take care of your kids for a day.
Yeah.
It's a requirement for me. You have a hands-on father.
Yeah, you're going to know a thing or two, okay?
Anything you add?
I think the father part is right. It kind of felt like she wasn't expecting it to be hands-on father because of the night nurse thing. I kind of always expected my husband to be like my night nurse. Let me see. If I were to add something, I would add... I feel like there was something I would add. Oh, you know what? I probably would add a mandatory weekly house cleaner and chef.
And chef. Yeah. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I probably would have like a mandatory.
Like, weekly would be amazing.
Yeah.
Weekly would be amazing.
Yeah. Like, even like just a weekly. That.
No, and I think that's like, excuse me. Even in general, I think it's very important to bring that up. Like, when you're talking about marrying somebody, if you're not a woman who is like, listen, I don't like to clean. That's not my ministry. I do what I need to do. Right. But I want a housekeeper.
Yeah.
So if you don't feel like that's something that you can do, because some people, it might not even be the money. It could be, I don't want no strangers in my home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's something fair to bring up because, and also, if you expect for me to cook every night, I'm not doing that. Like,
yeah, there's no way.
Something that you should say up front. Because yeah. I think a lot of men automatically think the woman's going to cook and clean.
Yeah.
And then when they get later on down the line, you get married, you live together, and they're like, what's up? You're like, bro, I ain't never said that I was doing all that.
Not at all.
Yeah, definitely talk about that. Sure. But yes, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe. Share with a friend and let us know what you guys think about this episode in the comments. We will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.